Ready to proceed?
May it please the court, Kate Aronson for appellant Chris Giannini. Rule 803.17 provides a hearsay exception for market reports, directories, or other published compilations used and relied on by the public, generally, or by persons in a particular occupation or profession. Travel time calculations from MapQuest do not fit firmly within the rooted 803.17 exception. The travel time estimates fail to meet the requirements or the predicates for admissibility, those predicates being reliability and necessity. First, travel time calculations are not reliable. MapQuest in and of itself disclaims its own reliability. It states that it makes no representations regarding the accuracy, completeness, quality, or most importantly, the reliability of the information contained on the website. In particular, we are talking about travel time estimates. I am not making, or the appellant is not making, any argument regarding distance itself, directions, or mileage between two points, but rather the time that it takes to get from point A to point B. And in White Industries, the court explained that the kind of publications contemplated by the rule are those which deal with compilations of straightforward objective facts. Straightforward objective facts not requiring an analysis or a subjective review of other factors.
What are the, the record shows this, the assumptions made by MapQuest when it calculates the travel time? Obviously, it's that old equation from algebra, distance equals rate times time. Are they, you're not challenging the distance part of that equation?
Not for purposes, no, Your Honor, I'm not.
Okay, so what about the rate, distance divided by rate equals the time, right? Is that how that formula works?
The MapQuest disclaimer refers to other factors, which it does not consider, and disclaims its reliability because it does not consider factors such as traffic or traffic volume, construction projects on the road, or weather conditions. So inherent in its own calculations is the disclaimer that there are factors which are not being considered. And should be.
I guess what I'm getting at is, does it assume a speed limit and all green lights? Does it assume an average driving speed pulled in from somewhere else and all red lights? I mean, if there are traffic signals on the way, do we know that?
The record does not reveal that at all, and it was not considered by the trial judge. MapQuest, from my own personal experience, you can put in certain factors, such as the most direct route. You could click a button and it would give you the most direct route from point A to point B. It does not, to my recollection, give you the opportunity to put in a speed. And in this particular case, we're dealing with a fuel truck with a maximum capacity that was full in the morning on the date of the incident of 3,000 gallons, which arguably does travel differently than the four-door average sedan. For takeoff from traffic lights, for stopping distances, et cetera.
Does your argument that you're not challenging distance, directions, and mileage mean that you've shifted to this being more of a 403B analysis, or as opposed to an absolute bar to admission?
No, Your Honor. I am, by saying that I'm not challenging the mileage, that was mileage, or the number of miles between the various points on Mr. Giannini's morning route, was not the fact in issue or the contention of the state. The issue was how long would it take to get from A to B, and that was the primary calculation which gave Mr. Giannini, according to the state's calculation under MapQuest, more than an hour extra in the morning. And that was significant in this case because under Mr. Wilson's calculations, he could not have been back in Delaware at 11:30. Under the state's calculation, he had more than an hour extra time in the morning. JB testified that the individual that solicited him at 6 p.m. was the same person that he saw at 11:30 in the morning. So it is, in this particular case, the issue is the time calculations, not necessarily the number of miles.
So what is the ruling that you're asking us to make with regard to MapQuest and its use?
Particular to this case would be the reliability of time travel or travel time calculations.
That it can't be used for that purpose.
That it cannot be used for that purpose, correct.
Can I just follow up on something I need to clarify? The MapQuest information was actually admitted into evidence, is that correct?
Yes, it was.
And so it was not just a case of being used to try and impeach a witness's statement about how long it would take by saying, well, what about this? MapQuest says it only takes this amount of time. That was not the limit to what this was used for. Is that correct?
That is correct. It was admitted for the actual route taken, but I qualify that because Mr. Wilson did not specifically testify to the route taken.
Okay, but was it admitted with any limitation on what it was being admitted for?
No.
And was there any explanation by the trial judge as to his thinking on why this was admissible?
The state proposed it under Rule 803.17, and the court ruled it to be admissible under 803.17. There was no independent analysis regarding the reliability or whether MapQuest fits within 803.17.
And there was an objection to that, I take it?
Yes, there was.
Did the trial judge speak to necessity? What alternatives may have been available to show that time?
No. There was no analysis on the two factors of reliability or necessity by the trial judge.
And the only evidence that the state proffered for the purpose of showing the time and negating alibi was simply what MapQuest said?
Correct. Which was the second point, is that necessity is the second predicate for admissibility. And in this case, it was well known where Wilson Fuel Company was located. Mr. Wilson testified specifically to not only the street, but the actual house number of the residence where Mr. Giannini delivered the fuel. The chief investigating officer, a police officer, any individual on behalf of the state could have done that drive. It was a 30-mile radius from the Delaware courthouse. An individual could have done the drive and come in with firsthand knowledge. The rule contemplates on the necessity question that finding every person who contributed to the compilation or report is absolutely impossible. And utilizing the MapQuest time calculations was not the only practical way to offer this information, and in fact it was not necessary at all.
How do we deal with the fact that three of our trial courts have admitted MapQuest information for various purposes, the family court, the court of chancery, and now the superior court? Is that significant at all?
It's the purpose for which it's offered, which is why this appeal and this argument is limited for the purpose of the travel time calculations, because there are variable facts that have to be considered, or factors. That is a much different argument, arguably, than whether a person can take 896 to Route 40 and get on Route 1. Whether the layout of routes and roads is much different and much more readily capable of accuracy or to be determined to be accurate than time calculations. So I would argue that it's for the purpose for which it's offered in this case.
Now, one can argue that there's a case from the Third Circuit interpreting the federal rule of evidence that's arguably the same or comparable to ours, and the Third Circuit seems to indicate that this evidence would not be admissible under their interpretation of 803.17. Are we bound by their determination, or should we follow it simply because our rules are the same?
this court has the authority to follow it, or under the Delaware Constitution to break from it. Now, the fact that it is, I would suggest, yes, this court should follow it.
This really isn't a constitutional issue, is it? It's whether the trial judge abused discretion by admitting this evidence, and it's evidence that should not have been admitted under the plain reading of 803.17. Does it give rise to a constitutional issue?
It does not give rise to a constitutional issue if this court finds that the evidence does not meet or firmly fit within the rooted exception of 803.17. It is not a constitutional issue.
I'd like to turn to a slightly different issue, and that is that I'm certainly no expert on this stuff, but I do go on the internet, and it seems as if MapQuest is a commonly used piece of information that people can figure out how to get places and roughly how long it will take. Granted, all the things that you said about not having really any way of knowing how they calculated it, and even if we knew how they calculated it, there could be construction, there could be red lights, green lights, all that kind of thing. So I don't think anybody would be able to argue that this is the definitive answer as to how long it will take to get from one place to another. It is an estimate that is based upon, discernible facts, namely roads and distances and speed limits and things like that. It may not be 100% reliable because, after all, it's an estimate. But shouldn't we recognize that this is a piece of information that is accepted as a source of accurate estimates and use it for that limited purpose? Not that it's a guarantee, but that it is an estimate of a travel time.
One of the elements of the exception itself requires that it be relied upon the public at large. And the state makes the argument that this evidence fits firmly within that rooted exception because it's generally relied upon. In this case, though, the only testimony to establish that element arguably came from Mr. Wilson when he was asked on cross by the state, have you ever used it for the purpose of time calculations? And Mr. Wilson said he may have used MapQuest on one occasion to determine travel time. That is certainly insufficient to establish the required foundation if, in fact, Your Honor is correct that it should be used for that purpose. It clearly was not established in this case. There was no testimony to establish that element that is generally relied on for that purpose.
So, in other words, if I understand you, you're saying that this is like various other things, blood alcohol tests or radar speeds or, other kind of sources of information, that there has to be one case first where an expert comes in and evidence comes in as to how many people rely on MapQuest and that sort of thing, and then there could be a ruling saying MapQuest does fall within this exception, it is widely used by everybody, and now from now on it can be admitted into evidence. Is that, you're saying that we haven't done that yet?
Assuming that it does fit within the exception for reliability and necessity, then yes, there absolutely has to be the foundation in a trial, and there wasn't.
Well, if I understood your representation about what the MapQuest warranty or caveat, however you want to phrase it, it seems that people might use MapQuest to get MapQuest view of the shortest route from point A to point B, but not even MapQuest suggests that you can rely upon their data for the purpose of determining how much time it'll take you to get there, because there are too many variables.
That's correct.
There are very few variables between how you can drive from point A to point B. There may be one or two alternatives, but within all those alternatives, time is the factor that's the least secure in their data, as I understand their caveat.
I would agree with that, and they specifically cite two variables beyond their control for which they make no representations at all, such as traffic or construction projects.
Did you want to save the balance of your time?
Yes. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, for the record, Mr. Myers appearing on behalf of the state. First of all, I suppose to answer or to go to a question Justice Berger asked, at page A42 in the appendix to the appellant's brief, there's the discussion or the colloquy between the attorneys and the trial judge about the use of the MapQuest estimates. If I could get my water, please. And it's just simply about half a page discussion between the attorneys and the trial judge. Then on page B8 in the appendix to the state's brief is where the MapQuest printouts are moved into evidence, and the trial attorney, who was not Ms. Aronson, simply notes for the record the same objection he had made prior. And again, I suppose going back to something Justice Ridgely asked, the record doesn't show anything about how MapQuest calculates the driving time. There's nothing about speed. There's nothing in the record about whether they use speed limits or anything like that. I suppose where the state departs from the appellant's analysis of the rule is that necessity and trustworthiness are the premises behind the rule, but the rule itself says nothing about necessity and trustworthiness. I think the district court in in White Industries makes that point as well. Necessity, the rule is designed in part to avoid the inconvenience of getting everybody into the courtroom who had anything to do with collecting the data, doing whatever mathematical work needed to be done in order to produce the final data. And then trustworthiness, that's accomplished by publishing the information, making it available to the public, or in the case of a more specialized trade journal or trade information, making it available to the members of that particular occupation and trade. And the publisher has a motive to make sure that the data are accurate. Otherwise, he runs the risk of people not using his or not purchasing or whatever his compilation or his collection.
But it's actually not really a publication of this particular travel time. It's a calculation of it. So it's more of a there's nothing. This may be the only publication of that particular travel time based on what the Deputy Attorney General printed out. Is that a possibility?
Well, there are cases involving used car value guides that we all know are available at the desk of the loan officer at the bank when you go to apply for a loan to get a used car. They look in the book, Kelly's or Edmunds. That information is available on the internet now. I mean, type in your vehicle information and so forth and so on, and, you know, click send or whatever, and it gives you an estimate for your value of your car. The courts have said that information coming off the internet is admissible under their particular version of Rule 803.17. So the fact that it's on the internet per se doesn't diminish from the fact, it doesn't mean that it's not, quote, published in the sense that, you know, a regular book is published. Published is more in terms of making it available to the general public or making it available to people who would be expected to use it.
Your comment on the factors of necessity and reliability not appearing verbatim in the rule concern me, because both Weinstein in his treatise and the Third Circuit in the Woods case make it clear that when one is to apply 803.17 exception to the hearsay rule, it's fundamentally predicated on the necessity of doing so and the reliability of the source. So how do you read it out of the rule, and what's your position on the Third Circuit's view and what view we should take in light of it?
I'll answer the question about the Third Circuit, whether the court should follow the Third Circuit's view first. Of course, the Delaware Rules of Evidence are heavily modeled on the federal rules, and the court has, as long as I've been practicing in the state, has often traditionally looked at the decisions of the federal courts when interpreting the analogous federal rule. So yes, the Third Circuit decision, I'd have to admit, is persuasive authority, but it's not binding on this court. excuse me. As to the terms of the rule and so forth, I think the commentary to the federal rule makes the point that, you know, the publication requirement in the rule works to guarantee the trustworthiness, because the reasoning, even in the common law cases, is that the person putting the information out there has some sort of business interest or reputational interest in ensuring that the information being put out there is accurate. Otherwise the public is not going to buy, you know, the book, is not going to click on the website and, or something like that.
That's understandable in situations where you have tables of life expectancy that are published, the price of turkey poults on a given day to the farmers that come from a single source where it's all compiled from various sources and it's published for the purpose of the market use. But here MapQuest itself says it makes no guarantees, representations, or warranties of the reliability of its information or its fitness for a particular purpose. How does that instill comfort in one that their reason for putting this as a form of publication on the internet underscores their effort to make it trustworthy and reliable when they disclaim its reliability for any particular purpose themselves on that very source?
I suppose I would draw the distinction between a disclaimer of liability, which is what that is, and the more rule-focused purpose or more rule-focused guarantee of trustworthiness. And that disclaimer, about traffic conditions, road construction, weather, so forth, I mean, that's not just, that's not unique to MapQuest. I prefer Google. Google has the same, limitations, or tells you it's simply an estimate as well.
If we're going to use personal experience here, mine is that if you ever follow MapQuest directions to get out of Dover, you will automatically take the longest, and both in time and distance. They have no idea how to leave Dover. But personal experience with MapQuest isn't what we're talking about. I hope to defy the longevity tables too. But what about the Third Circuit's view that necessity means a circumstance would have to be established where it's hard or impractical to locate the people and summon them whose personal knowledge underlies the material, when, as your colleagues suggest, it was simple enough to send a trooper out to do the route himself and determine the distance and determine under the circumstances how much time it took? You wouldn't have any trouble finding out this information, quite apart from MapQuest, if you simply took the time to try it yourself. That's a little different in determining how long a 50-year-old white male is going to live on the East Coast of the United States.
I agree.
Why wasn't that done here?
I'm sorry?
Why wasn't that done here?
Record doesn't reflect that, and I don't know. I mean, I did not ask the trial prosecutor about that.
But you agree it would have been simple enough to do that?
Yes. In this particular context, yes.
Well, how do you interpret the Third Circuit's requirement that it would be hard or impractical to locate and summon the people whose personal knowledge underlies such material as one of the reasons why it might be admissible under 803.17 if it's truly the kind of compilation that's contemplated by that rule?
Well, then we'd have to, get a hold of MapQuest and, find out how many people, generated, this map and put in the numbers for, the speed limits and distances and so forth, and how many people put together the computational algorithms.
Well, if you did so, how many of them do you think actually made the drive?
Well, I'd have to agree with Mr. Wilson, made the same observation that probably no one had made the drive.
So what would be more reliable, since there's no necessity of relying on this information, having someone make the drive or going to the Internet and asking MapQuest in its collective wisdom their estimate of how long it would take to get from point A to point B?
Well, even if a trooper or county detective went out and did the drive, I mean, his experience would be subject to the same variations expressed in MapQuest or expressed on Google. Traffic, weather, road conditions, whether there's construction, whether somebody's put up a detour or whatever.
Yeah. And that's fair enough. But what I'm asking is, does the Third Circuit put a predicate as part of a subset of necessity to show that it would be hard or impractical to find out the information otherwise?
I hope I made the point in the brief that this is an exception under Rule 803. And under Rule 803, the availability of the declarant is not, or unavailability of the declarant, is not a prerequisite for admissibility. So whether we could find, in this particular case, dealing with the MapQuest information, whether we could get all the people together who had anything to do with this, with these estimates, under the prefatory language to Rule 803, is immaterial.
Well, what is the predicate necessity then? What does the Third Circuit mean, and what does Weinstein mean when they talk about not just reliability, which has been our focus up to this point, but necessity? There's just, doesn't it mean there's no other reasonable alternative? This is your only source of reliable information? And is that the case here?
Well, I know I made the point in the brief that as far as the Third Circuit decision, it struck the state that they had somehow conflated the purposes of the rule with requirements for admissibility. So
both Weinstein and the Third Circuit have it wrong?
Yes.
Could I move to a slightly different subject, which is intuitively it strikes me that either MapQuest or Google or one of the other internet map sources would have been the subject of a variety of decisions around the country on whether they are admissible or not. Is that the case, and what have other courts been holding? I mean, other than the Third Circuit.
I can tell the court, just based on my work preparing this brief, I spent a lot of time on Westlaw doing a lot of various searches. I couldn't find anything about MapQuest or Google Maps or anything like that. In terms of internet publications, I found cases involving like Kelly's Blue Book or Edmunds involving used car values.
But you found the two Delaware cases, the one from family court and the one from the Court of Chancery that admitted it for their particular purposes, didn't you? Family court admitted it for the purpose of determining whether somebody could drive a motorcycle from point A to point B. Court of Chancery admitted MapQuest information as well, not for the same purpose as this, not to show time from one point to another, but to establish distance. Is there any significance to that?
I have to admit, as I stand here at the podium, I do not recall finding those cases. If the court has nothing further, I see my time's almost up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
With respect to the court's question as to whether other courts have admitted MapQuest information, there is a Maryland case, Smith versus State Farm. It was a civil case in which the issue was whether MapQuest could be used to determine a grant in a change of venue. I did not cite that case. I can give the court the cite. It's 900 A. 2nd. 301. It's a 2006 case. It was for the purpose of determining distance or mileage, which was not directly on point. With respect to necessity, Mr. Myers made a point that the trooper might have the same variables.
There's
such as
also in your brief, Commonwealth versus Brown.
That was, yes.
But that, again, is only on distance.
That's correct.
And so it's not technically on point either, then, because you're not challenging calculations of distance.
Correct. Mr. Myers made a point regarding the same variables that the trooper might encounter in doing that drive, but exactly that there are variables, and trial counsel, defense counsel, would have had the opportunity to cross-examine the trooper regarding ideal or less than ideal driving conditions on the date and time that he did the drive between all of the various points. It remains, in this case, the MapQuest time calculations did not firmly fit within the hearsay exception, and under those circumstances, Mr. Giannini is entitled to a new trial because the error was not harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. The central issue was whether he could have been at 11:30 in the morning at a particular time at a particular place in Delaware. The identification by JB was at best equivocal. He stated in response to looking at the photo lineup, I'm pretty sure, in-court identification, I think so. There was a neighbor of JB who testified that said, yes, he was there on that night, but gave conflicting statements as to what he was doing on that particular night in that area, because he, Mr. Giannini, knew the neighbor and worked on the neighbor's cars. There was not overwhelming evidence in this case. There was no scientific evidence linking. There was, in fact, a equivocating identification and an alibi, which was destroyed by this unreliable and inadmissible hearsay.
What about the 12-year-old's identification of the truck? Is that singularly important? You focus only on his equivocation about the identification of the individual. Did he equivocate on his identification of the description of the truck, which seemed to fit the description of Mr. Giannini's truck?
Mr. Giannini knew the neighbor Leland Brown and would be in that at the neighbor's house on occasion working on Mr. Brown's truck. Pursuant to Mr. Wilson's calculations, if Mr. Giannini is driving the fuel truck and he could not have gotten back to the Wilson company and have made it to Delaware by 11:30, he would have been driving at that point. There was a question as to whether he would have been driving the Wilson fuel truck had he been able to get back in time, and that's how it would relate to the truck issue.
Thank you very much, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement and recess.